Happy Tuesday, everyone. Super Bowl Tuesday, or should it be Hall of Fame Tuesday, as we wait for Mr. Ira Kaufman, just hours from presenting John Lynch for the fourth time into the Hall of Fame before the selectors and the presenters and all the important people there and the voters. And, of course, they're all the same people, Ira. All those people. It sounds a little better when I put it that way.
Once they get in that room, Steve, they lock the door. You don't get out for 9 hours.
You don't get out. Yeah, maybe 10, 11 this year, Ira. You know, definitely pack a sandwich because those guys like to eat, I've heard. No, seriously, Ira, it's great to be here on your podcast. A lot of stuff going on this week. My name is Steve Isbitz from JoeBucksFan.com. Your podcast pops every Tuesday and Thursday. And, of course, readers and our listeners can check out old episodes or catch the new ones by subscribing at Podbean or at iTunes, which is, of course, the most popular way to find your podcast. Or you can just listen to it right on the website here.
Steve, John Lynch, front and center. Front and center for our podcast. Not any questions about it.
He's
running unopposed. He's running unopposed today.
What a curveball thrown into the football world and, of course, your world, since you are Mr. John Lynch. First, Ira, I got to take a little smack at you. How do you not break the story of John Lynch getting the 49ers job? What are you guys chatting about all the time?
Well, I did talk to him a week ago, Steve. You know, I gave an update on what's going on and, you know, how encouraged I was about the presentation. And he's got guys working for him, Steve. They're working overtime. Dungy. Rod Marinelli's calling people. Ed DiBartolo's calling people. So he's got a lot of support, and I'm hoping that it culminates in very good news by Saturday afternoon. Steve, and he just mentioned in passing, hey, Ira, you know, a couple of teams are, you know, showing a little interest in me. They want to know if I'm interested in maybe joining the organization. He didn't mention the 49ers. He didn't mention that it was a GM job, and he didn't mention that he'd be interested. I asked him about his family situation. Oh, I got a daughter. She's a senior in high school. I don't really want to leave San Diego. I got a good job. Steve, for our listeners and our loyal readers, I want you to picture this. Here I am. You know, I got a slice of apple pie in front of me, hot tea. I'm watching a rerun of Everybody Loves Raymond. All of a sudden, my phone starts blowing up on Sunday night, Steve. And I look, and all of a sudden, you know, 49ers to name John Lynch's general manager. Turn to my wife and I go, I can't believe this. You're right. I got scooped by, you know, my own candidate, sort of. Hats off to Schefter. You know, he has a knack for doing these things, Steve. Of course, my first inclination is, you know, how's this going to affect me? You know, that's what writers are all about. How does it affect me?
It's all about
and
you,
that's
Ira.
To be determined.
It's all
Steve.
About you.
We'll see.
Yeah, and of course, you're talking about how that affects you in the Hall of Fame room on Saturday. Well, what do you think? What's your gut? I mean, do you throw this into your presentation at all? Do you put it in there as a plus, or do you just ignore it completely? Where do you go with this?
I'm going to use the same formula, Steve, that I have in dealing with the looming presence of Brian Dawkins on the ballot as a first-time candidate. Direct competitor to Mr. Lynch, similar in a lot of ways, big hitters. And by that I mean, Steve, I'm not going to mention Brian Dawkins by name. If the Philly guy who goes before me wants to turn this into a Dawkins-Lynch contest, knowing, and, you know, I'll be the first to say it, Steve, both guys are not going to get in. Dawkins and Lynch are not going to get in the same ballot. Kenny Easley's the senior candidate. He's another safety. So three safeties are not getting in the hall in the same year after they've gone 50 years without putting many safeties in. If the Philly guy, even if he tries to turn this into a Dawkins-Lynch thing and Dawkins got the stats and Dawkins was an all-decade player and Lynch wasn't, which is true, I'm not going to mention Brian Dawkins. To me, this is about John Lynch and the iconic Buck defense. He stands on his own merits. When you turn it into a one-on-one contest, that backfires on you in that room. So, Steve, in that regard, I'm not going to mention the impending general manager job for John Lynch. We're judging John Lynch, the player, Steve. I don't care if it helps me in that room. I don't need the help. I don't feel. I feel good about Lynch's candidacy. I don't see any reason why it should hurt him, Steve, although I see some in the media are already immediately taking pot shots at the 49er organization, comparing Lynch to Matt Millen. I don't think that's fair.
Let's go there, Ira, and, you know, separate yourself from being the Hall of Fame presenter for a minute. You know, the pot shots are saying, well, you know, this is just a nepotism-like blast in the NFL of, given a big name ex-player this job when all these scouts and all of these executives and guys moving up the chain didn't even get an interview, good personnel men, and it's not fair, and the NFL shouldn't go this route, which is the way the NBA has gone very much so in recent years with ex-players. Do you think that's a bunch of crap, or what do you think?
I think the centerpiece in this whole story is Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, who has some Buck connections. It was on Gruden's staff. Steve, they've settled on Shanahan weeks ago, and he's going to be the guy, you know, the day after the Super Bowl. Kyle Shanahan is going to be the coach of the 49ers. They're all in on Kyle Shanahan. And to that end, Steve, it's all about who is Shanahan comfortable working with, who does Shanahan have confidence in that can run football operations. The answer is John Lynch. They have a relationship. If Shanahan wasn't comfortable with John Lynch, Lynch would not even get a sniff of this job. So, look, the coach GM, as we know in Tampa, relationship is critical. When Gruden couldn't get along with McKay, it was done a year later. And McKay moved on, and the Bucs haven't been the same since. I mean, let's be honest. They won a couple of division titles. They haven't won a playoff game since McKay departed. They haven't. So that's the critical relationship in football. The critical position is quarterback. The critical relationship is GM coach.
But
why Lynch got this.
Philosophically
job.
Speaking, though, you don't think this is any sort of big deal. This is just what you're saying. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is just hey, coach comes in. They hired the coach first. He wanted input on the GM. He trusts Lynch. Organization trusts Lynch. He's got the job, period.
With a big help from Ed DeBartolo, as I wrote in my column yesterday, Steve. DeBartolo behind the scenes, I think he was an integral factor in bringing Lynch to fruition with this open GM job in San Francisco. He's got a lot of clout. Eddie, he just made the Hall of Fame himself a year ago. Even though he doesn't have the title of owner, think he doesn't have influence is being naive.
Well, two things on that. But first, I want to remind everyone that your podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, proud presenters of everything you do here on JoeBucksFan.com and through your podcasts. Ira, Ed Morse is going to save you, Ira. General manager Mark Walmsley of Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. He's been telling people, and it's true, it's time to take a paycation, buy with zero down, and make zero payments for 3 months, or drive new ATSs, 319 a month, XT5s, 439 a month. The offer is fading away, Ira, here. You got to hurry.
A little more time, Steve, I'd be driving the Caddy from Tampa to Houston. Who needs Southwest Airlines?
There you go. Take a paycation at Brandon's only luxury dealership. Visit EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. And, of course, we'll talk more later about our friends at EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. Those are the only two Cadillac dealerships in Hillsborough County. Now, Ira, when it comes to DeBartolo, here's what I'm thinking. DeBartolo is a Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer. And if there are some quotes in the next few days from DeBartolo, and he starts raving about the intelligence of John Lynch and the savvy of John Lynch and his meetings with John Lynch through the years, and just starts going off on this guy's football intelligence, is there a chance maybe you sneak some of that in if you get a good quote?
I've got a ton of quotes, Steve. You know, I've been gathering. I'm like
something
a little squirrel.
Something new.
You know,
or do you just stay away?
No. If DeBartolo could weigh in, and he could have some influence in that room. But my main point, Steve, is that DeBartolo played a critical role in Lynch getting this job.
Yeah,
and
nobody's
right.
Nobody's disputing
he's
that.
Been. I've been told by a strong source, I mean, somebody, quote, with knowledge of the situation, Steve.
One of those. Huh?
That DeBartolo has been stumping for Lynch on the Hall of Fame trail, calling selectors, talking to selectors, and talking up Lynch as a very worthy Hall of Famer. And that doesn't surprise me, Steve. I mean, does anybody have anything bad to say about John Lynch on and off the football field? You know, this is the anti-Terrell Owens. You know, we're going to be in there talking about Owens for 45 minutes on Saturday. Lynch is a guy that is beyond reproach off the field.
Yeah, and when you look at Lynch, one thing that's interesting as it ties to this Hall of Fame, the 49ers gig, the guy started in football at professional football in 93. He went all the way through the preseason with the Patriots in 08 and then jumped directly into broadcasting. He's not even stepped away from the NFL for 24. This is like his 24th season where he's been attached to it every single year. Smart, savvy guy. Well, one thing,
and a lot of people talk about Lynch and his work ethic as a Fox announcer. In other words, when they meet with these people on Saturday night, you know, maybe at the team facility or the team hotel where they're hanging out, they meet with the head coach, they meet with the quarterback,
yeah, production
players,
production meeting.
Lynch gets very high marks in terms of preparation, in terms of knowledge, asking the right questions. He knows the business side of football also.
And I'll say this, I'm sure there are NFC coaches today, Ira, throwing around a bunch of F-bombs because they met with John Lynch in the past year and talked personnel with him in those production meetings, and now he's the GM, and they're talking about, hey, we really like this guy off the edge. He's a nice young talent. He's this, he's that. A little anecdote, Ira and Leah DeCamper, and Joe Bucks fan, wrote about this when it happened. Don't think I read it anywhere else. When Lynch was here for his
Ring of Honor,
sort of, hey, he made it. Not the induction night, but the announcement. Mike Smith invited Lynch in to watch film with him for a couple hours. And he tapped his brain, and they probably tapped each other's brains. But yeah, that's the kind of respect that coaches had for Mike Smith, and it happened for John Lynch, and it happened right here in our building with
Steve,
with our
Steve
staff.
If that gives the 49ers a little bit of leg up, God bless them, because
they need it.
They need it. they've been a decrepit organization for about 3 years, 2-14. They got the number 2 pick in the draft for a reason, Steve. They did.
Yeah, Bucks don't play him next year, so who cares? Now, Ira, let me say this.
Well, all I care about is, does this have any effect on John Lynch Saturday in that room at the Houston Convention Center?
It shouldn't.
That's all I care
about. It might. But I think it can only be positive. How could it be negative? Unless in the aftermath somebody says some things about Lynch that people hear and too many people hear.
It still was a shock to the system, Steve, because here I am in the process of finalizing my presentation. By the way, just so your listeners know, an edict came down from the Hall of Fame executives, and they are strongly suggesting that presentations be limited to 5 minutes.
Oh, you're already at 6 to 8, so you're good.
I got to do a little trimming there, Steve.
No,
and you know
good.
What? I don't think most people are going to adhere to that. Some people go on for 10 or 12 minutes. I think it works against them. I've done this before.
Yeah,
I think 6 or 7 minutes is the right time.
They are not going. No one's going to adhere to it. All it will do is help the guy who had a 20 minutes plan shave it down to 10 or 12.
Now, you got to sum up a man's 15-year career in 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's BS. It's BS. You know what? If you need more time, take a dinner break. Come back. You know, get massage girls in there. You know, somebody can rub Peter King's feet. You know, all that stuff. Dancing girls, perk them up. I mean, come on. Now,
Steve. Steve. If this happens Saturday, and let's face it,
are we going to break this on JoeBucksFan.com, or is Adam Schefter going to get it?
Steve, most Buck fans are rooting for John Lynch. I mean, let's be honest.
Of course.
Of course they are. And if it does happen, you know, John Lynch is going to be part of that NFL Honors Show Saturday night. You know, it's going to be televised. You know, Jimmy Kimmel or somebody's going to host it. and that's when the AP announces their awards. You know, we already have the All-Pro team, but I mean the MVP award,
sure.
Coach of the Year.
And you vote for all those teams.
I vote for all those things.
And let our people know I do influence you greatly on those votes. You listen to everything I say.
I do, except I didn't go as far as pick Winston as the league MVP, even though you recommended that.
Next time.
Next time. So Lynch is going to be part of that, Steve, hopefully. And that would cap an incredible week for number 47, if that happens.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I want to set the stage here for our listeners on your podcast, presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Got to set the stage, Ira. So you and I were out at Pro Bowl practice on Friday.
That's right.
And you're a rock star at these venues with all this NFL media.
I got a big hug from Sal Palantonio.
Everybody's hugging you.
Herm Edwards with the high five.
I'm literally talking to Aqib Talib. And next thing I know, you guys are doing a bro man hug. He's like, stops talking to me. He gives you like, hey, man, and he's slapping you.
Hey,
you guys
I ain't the writer that Talib tried to push into the locker room one fine afternoon in Tampa. That's a story for another day.
Are you going to tell that story or
no,
what?
No, that's a story for another day. But another we get day. Along. Steve?
But these people, you're killing them. This is Bucks history.
They don't have to know everything that goes on behind closed doors. So, but we get along. And you know, you were in the middle of a heated conversation with Talib. He spotted me and he forgot about you.
Yeah, he ditched me to hug you, not just say hey. He's hugging you, embracing you.
But I'm also the guy that called him a knucklehead about a month ago.
Were you in that cab?
I was not in that cab.
You're not in the cab?
I was not in
that cab. All right, so wait, just to rewind for the readers who get driven crazy by your nuggets here. For the podcast, are you ever going to tell that locker room story that you just referenced? Just a yes or no.
Well, I know what happened, but I really wasn't front and center, so I don't want to rely on hearsay. You might have been there, Steve. You might have been there. You certainly know what happened. It was a local scribe from a local newspaper.
All right, I'm just asking. Just asking. And, okay. Well, if you didn't see
Talib took exception to something the guy wrote and got a little physical. And I guess Bucks PR had to step in and take care of business.
And it was quashed forever until you decide one day before you retire to reveal the full story.
I was impressed. I was impressed with you also on Friday at Camping World Stadium, Stephen. You're not afraid to go up to Andy Reid. And by the way, speaking of Andy Reid, you saw me. I waited and waited, and he was talking to the local, you know, Chiefs beat writer for the KC paper.
And he did not hug you.
Did not
just
hug
for the
me.
Record.
I must have waited 15 or 20 minutes for, you know, you got to give the beat writer his time. You know, that's a cardinal rule. Here I am coming from Tampa trying to, you know, butt into Andy Reid's conversation. So I gave the guy time, and when I finally got next to him, and this was my second time around with Andy Reid, Steve, I said, you and I are going to be enemies in Houston next week. He looked at me, he goes, what do you mean, Ira? I said, well, you know, I'm making the case for John Lynch. You coached Brian Dawkins. And I don't want to be sitting there and hearing the Philly representative have this nice juicy quote from Andy Reid about how Dawkins was a Pro Bowl shoo-in. You know, don't even think twice about it. He just laughed. And he goes, you know what? If Dawkins wasn't on that ballot, I'd be telling you something very nice that you could use about John Lynch. I can't do it now. My guy's in the room. But I thought Lynch was one hell of a football player.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just, again, it's just fun to express, to see what sort of a rock star you are. Herm Edwards literally jumps off the ESPN stage to embrace you. What did you do to these people? What do you have, pictures of everything?
Steve, now you got to remember.
What's going on?
That,
it's not, you know.
I believe.
I mean, Ira, I joke that you're 95 years old, but you're not so old where people should come and embrace you like they'll never see you again. You know?
I think Herm, they're so close that, you know, he used to coach John Lynch with the Bucks.
Of course.
And I believe Herm's son is Lynch's godson. They're very, very close. And, you know, Herm, knowing that I'm going to make the pitch for Lynch. And by the way, he gave me some good stuff. And I'll give it to our listeners. I'll give them a little sneak preview. It's a little nugget among many that I will go in the room with. And I got to sneak it into my 5 minutes, Steve. A lot to cram into 5 minutes.
Just go seven, Ira. Just go seven.
You
don't need the pressure. You don't need the pressure.
Steve, and I think this is a tasty little piece to the puzzle. When Hardy Nickerson left the Bucks after the 99 season, that bitter loss to the Rams, 11-7, 11-6, I think it was. Yeah, 11-6. So Nickerson leaves.
Wasn't it 11?
11-5, maybe.
I don't remember.
Yeah. It might have.
Killing me. All right, go ahead. Go ahead.
So whatever it was one of the great defensive performances in modern day NFL history, because that was the greatest show on turf year. Nobody stopped those Rams, and. That was the Bert Emanuel game,
yeah.
Right?
Steve White's interception. Go ahead.
So Nickerson leaves, and they need a new defensive captain. Now, let's remember this, Steve. By 2000, Warren Sapp and Derek Brooks are firmly established as megastars in the National Football League. This is not the first year or two where they're just trying to establish.
Yeah, no, megastars.
Megastars. The Bucks hold a vote to elect Nickerson's successor as defensive captain. The vote goes to number 47. Now, I do understand that Lynch was there before Brooks and before Sapp. Lynch got there in 93. These guys got there a little later. But still, John Lynch was elected by Buck defensive players over Brooks and Sapp. So that very much fortifies my main argument in that room.
Key Cog of an iconic defense.
It should have been the Tampa 3 because you got to have that guy, and Lynch was that guy.
Yeah, it's a good nugget and really a great trivia question. Just a really telling piece of history. You know, Hardy Nickerson leaves for the Jacksonville Jaguars, changing of the guard and middle linebacker after Nickerson's four consecutive Pro Bowls.
Hey, you got Sapp, you got Brooks.
Sapp, mouth of the team, the voice of the team, the villain. You've got the
quiet leader.
The legendary quiet leader. And there it goes to John Lynch. So interesting stuff, and you gotta work that in. You gotta find a way to. And I'm telling you, Ira, you are the closer in that. Sal Palantonio calls you. You're the closer in the Hall of Fame room. But I'm telling you, Ira, because I do care. Got to get that in there. Don't worry about the time, because I with this breaking news you've given us about the Hall saying five, keep your speech to 5 minutes. If you prep a 5-6 minute speech, Ira, and the Dawkins guy gets up there and talks for nine, you're going to feel shorted. Or some idiot in there might think, oh, Ira doesn't have that much to say.
He doesn't have that much.
Yeah, he doesn't have that much on Lynch. Maybe there's not that much. You know, and somebody, at least somebody, will think that way. Like, well, this guy, what a great nine-minute pitch. And Kaufman, he's loquacious. Well, he's got nothing.
Yeah, he's got all the stats. Look at Dawkins. Look at the statistics.
Yeah,
look at the numbers.
I'd prepare to go long and just go for it. Talk a little faster if you have to.
and you know, Steve, a lot of guys, they sit down. I don't. I spring up like a jack in the box as soon as the guy says, making the pitch. Here's Ira Kaufman from Joe Bucks Fan, and Joe Bucks Fan will get a little plug in the room too. And by the way, when we start, before the very first presentation, this happens every year, we go around the room. This year it'll be 48. It used to be 46. This year we got two Hall of Fame players with vote. James Lofton and Dan Fouts. And by the way, the presence of Fouts might give Don Coryell a little boost. He might.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, he might.
That scares me.
Go around the room, Steve, and we introduce ourselves. Now, of course, we all know each other for the most part, but there's always a couple of new people in the room. You know, some people retire or whatever. They don't make the trip to the Super Bowl city.
So you just stand up and say name.
Yeah, well, no, we sit there. We go in order. Name and affiliation.
Like Peter King doesn't say, hi, I'm Peter King, if you don't know me, back in 1978.
He says, Peter King, Sports Illustrated.
Gotcha.
That's what he says. And, Barry Wilner, Associated Press.
Gotcha.
Rick Goslin, Dallas Morning News. And yours truly will say, formerly of the late, great Tampa Tribune, Ira Kaufman, Joe Bucks Fan. And
No, you got to put the .com in there.
Oh,
Ira.
You got to want the .com. That takes another 10 seconds.
.com.
Right. .com. All right, you got the .com. There you go.
Unbelievable. Ira, I got to coach you. I got to coach you up. .com. .com. Late, great. Oh, boy. All right.
Late, great, baby.
All right, I'm teasing you, Ira. But, yeah, you got to get the .com in there, Ira. Got to get the .com.
I'm excited. I can't wait for Saturday. I look forward to it.
We'll talk more on Thursday's podcast.
Yeah, I'll give you the latest update.
We got a couple more angles there to work, absolutely, for sure.
And, of course, Steve, next week when we do our podcast, I will give you a first-person behind-the-scenes account, besides writing on joebucksfan.com.
Thank you, Ira. Thank you.
I will give our listeners and readers a little juicy behind-the-scenes look at what went on in that room that day.
Excellent. And Ira, I want to let everyone know who's listening today, Thursday, 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock with Steve Dumig?
I think that's going to be, I would say 4 o'clock Houston time could be 3 o'clock.
Well, that would be 5 o'clock.
Or 5 o'clock, yeah, 5 o'clock
in
Tampa.
As of now, subject to change, but we'll put it out on Twitter.
It's definitely going to be Thursday. Yeah.
We'll put it out on Twitter at JoeBucksFan or on JoeBucksFan.com.
That's my annual sit-down, Steve. That's annual.
Ira's annual 1 hour at the Super Bowl Hall of Fame chat and all things NFL chat. Sit down with the big dog, Steve Dumig, on WDAE 620, 5 o'clock. On Thursday of this week. Definitely check that out. It's always great stuff.
I'll go into all the reasons, Steve, why I'm optimistic about Lynch's chance.
Well, you know, frankly, Ira, more than that, because, you know, you've given all sorts of stuff here to our listeners who can catch all your old podcasts. But that Thursday night, you have all the last day, last 24 hours scuttlebutt and all the angling. And it's I can't express enough how much ridiculous politicking and angling us. I feel like you're getting somebody past a congressional chamber or something. I mean, you're sitting there, I'm not going to name names, but you're sitting there chatting with another Hall of Fame voter for 15 minutes. You know, you guys are hot and heated and debating who's saying what and who's talking about who.
And then there's all these celebrities wandering around Radio Row, Steve. I mean, it's one after the other.
But yeah, you're mingling at the Pro Bowl. I mean, it's evident. It's a big buzz. It's a big deal, and a lot of politicking.
And then at the end of the day, Kate Upton comes through, and there's total silence in the room. Yeah, you know, this is the way things work out.
That's the way where you got to get her on the podcast.
And Dumick says, "Well, why can't I get her to sit down for 5 minutes with me?"
Yeah, keep dreaming. All right, now Ira, at the Pro Bowl, you weren't just hugging everyone, and you were actually pounding the pavement there, talking to people about the Bucks and players and whatnot.
I did bring a tape recorder, Steve. You did bring a tape recorder. I was not there to press the flesh.
Congratulations. So give us a, I don't care if you've written a column or not yet, give us a little juice, a nugget you learned out there from the myriad of players you talked to.
Well, the main issue, you know, the main message that came through, Steve, is the admiration for Jameis Winston. From Drew Brees to the Chiefs defensive coordinator, Bob Sutton. I like to try to talk to people that played the Bucs this year. And the Chiefs were out in force, Travis Kelce, Bob Sutton, the coach, Andy Reid, Drew Brees, of course, twice a year with the Bucs. And I got their thoughts on young Jameis. And I'll be writing about it later this week. For JoeBucksFan.com.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you.
.com. You got it imprinted on my brain now.
If you can't say .com, I'm just going to start calling you Ira Kauf.
And, you know, besides his physical attributes, these guys talk about Winston's leadership. That's what they talk about. And Sutton said, look, I'm not at one buck place. I don't see what goes on behind the scenes. But I love the body language. I love the way the players are responding to him in the huddle. These guys notice all these things. Drew Brees talking about the looming threat the Bucs pose within the NFC South. They're coming on strong. Our readers are going to love some of these quotes, Steve. And these are the people that count. These are the people that study film. These are the people that are charting Jameis Winston's development. And quite frankly, as competitors, they're a little scared about the progress that the Bucs have already made and what the future holds for the Bucs going forward.
We look forward to that, Ira, and thanks for dropping a few names. I wanted to drop something on you before we head out of this podcast. Spending more time at the Pro Bowl than you did, I got to see a picture of that somebody showed me, and it was a picture of four NFL players and their wives out to dinner. I think it was Thursday night. It was Aqib Talib, Donald Penn, Michael Bennett, and Gerald McCoy, all spending some time together at the Pro Bowl, going out to eat, talking about old times. And
in a perfect world, they'd all be on the 2017 Bucks, Steven.
And whooping it up. And in your, forget about, everybody knows the wounds and the reasons and the who's and the hows and the maybe the whys, even though there is no why for Michael Bennett. But Ira, have you ever seen anything like this in NFL history where a Pro Bowl comes and you've got those four guys and Zutah and Darrell Revis is still looming out there after a rough year, but you've got so many high-performing ex-Buccaneers. Have you ever seen anything like this?
You know, first I'm disappointed because I didn't see Donald Penn that day that you and I went out there on Friday. Where was Donald Penn?
He didn't play in the game. He was injured. And he pulled out because he...
But what, was he on the field?
No, he wasn't practicing. He didn't play in the game, but he had already booked a trip out there.
Well, you would have been shocked because Penn would have gave me another bear hug, just like Aqib Talib.
Well, Penn and I are good buddies, too.
I voted him as a first-team All-Pro left tackle.
Right. So anyway, my point was he wasn't practicing. You didn't miss him, per se. He was in Orlando, though, visiting and had...
It's a bizarre situation, Steve, in terms of the high-profile players that used to call Tampa Bay home. You can throw LeGarrette Blount maybe into that mix, although I don't think Blount would be nearly as effective in a Buck uniform. I don't. But you're talking about some high-profile players. Talib, you know, purely in football terms, Steve, there aren't many better in terms of cover corners. There just aren't. Is he a knucklehead at times? Yeah. Can't control his emotions at times? Yeah. But he's a guy that can shadow your number one guy. Wherever Julio Jones goes, he goes. Antonio Brown, he goes. You know? And there aren't too many guys like that, Steve.
But now, you said it's bizarre. Have you seen this before, Ira? Have you seen, in this scope of the way I just presented it, have you seen anything like this?
I'm sure the Bucs don't own a patent on this in terms of making mistakes in personnel. Some are mistakes, some aren't. I mean, we're talking about retrospect. When Talib left, he was under suspension. Steve, he was under NFL suspension. He had been in trouble all the time in Tampa.
Yeah, we know the story, but this is unique, though.
It is unique. You know, Donald Penn, if they still have him, maybe they don't draft Donovan Smith, so they got a wide receiver instead of Donovan Smith. You know, a lot of things changed. There's no question about it. But at least McCoy's still a Buccaneer in that picture, Steve. And Michael Bennett. Another guy who, now for our purposes, Steve, maybe you're thinking a little selfishly, but anything you ask Michael Bennett, he's got an opinion on. I mean, he's great for the media.
Sure.
But he's also a heck of a football player. I'm not going to make any arguments about Michael Bennett. He plays inside, Steve. He plays outside. There aren't too many guys with that kind of versatility. You know, I still remember the Super Bowl, Steve, not the one they won against Denver, but the one they lost against New England, the Malcolm Butler play. I was watching Michael Bennett very intently that day. He was unblockable in the first half. Unblockable.
What's interesting, Ira, if they win that game, which they probably should have, he might have been MVP. And with two rings and a Super Bowl MVP, he might be a guy up for the Hall of Fame.
And maybe the closer makes the presentation, Steve. You never know.
He might have been somebody you were talking about, a quote-unquote iconic Seattle defense, and he would have been a key linchpin there.
Boy, would he have looked good in a Buck uniform the last few years, Steve. No question about it.
Yeah, we saw the reaction from various media covering Gerald McCoy this past week,
and
Bennett
Steve,
talking about
Steve.
What
are the Bucs looking for? One of the key components,
a
guy who could play outside and possibly move inside. That's Michael Bennett.
The comedy never ends, Ira. Comedy never ends with the Bucs.
And Calais Campbell could be a guy like that, Steve. So our readers should keep an eye on that guy.
Yeah, we will see with Mr. Calais. I talked to some folks about him at the Pro Bowl as well. I'll be writing about that on JoeBucksFan.com.
You covered a lot of ground in Orlando, Steven.
I got a lot of good stuff, folks. A lot of good stuff. Talked to Mr. Gerald McCoy in depth about free agency, which I haven't typed it up yet, but I will. There's some good stuff, and the beat never stops here on JoeBucksFan.com.
So while DeKemper was patrolling the outskirts of the Tanga Lounge in Tampa, you were out there doing some work. Nice.
Now Lee's out. He's out of Super Bowl, so
he'll be
digging up all kinds of Bucks nuggets.
And when he leaves, I'm coming into town. So we're covered.
Town's not big enough for the both of you. All right, Ira, again, thank you to Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. I'll be back on Thursday for the last round before your big Hall of Fame presentation. And don't screw it up, Ira. Thank you.